Hello. Welcome to Throwing Light. My name is Brandy Walker. This is episode 79, Jesus Wept. Okay. Ooh, hello, hello. So, I have been wanting to do an episode for a long time on grief, and I think I've mentioned it before. I may have touched on it, but mostly I have not known how best to approach it until just recently. And also, I had planned for this week a different episode. So I posted on TikTok last Friday. So today I'm recording this on September 4th. So a week ago, I had posted that I was going to do live readings. I'm going to do live readings on this podcast. And asking people to connect with me if they were interested. And a lot of people did. And I recorded an episode for that. And I do plan on sharing that. But there are a couple reasons why I haven't shared it yet. When I said live readings, I was thinking of sort of like riffing, channeling, saying them, like tuning into the person's energy, which is what I did. And then just giving them a reading and then sharing it, but not having the person on the podcast live and not even doing it with them in person, just kind of connecting with them via, the field. and then in talking to Jermaine, we had some thoughts about, well, maybe you could do that and do some live readings. And so I'm still trying to figure out like how best to do this. And I've gotten a lot of really, there's a lot of people who I'm excited that, to work with. And I haven't replied to anybody because I'm still kind of figuring out how to do it. So that is hopefully coming up next week. Thank you for your patience. And then something happened in my personal life also the end of last week. And I have been working through that, grieving this week. And so I think it just felt like, well, with everything going on, it feels right to talk about this. And I think about this phrase, the King James Bible is the only one that says Jesus wept, apparently, in the translation I use, which is the New Revised Standard Version. It says, let me locate it. It says, Jesus began to weep. But it's notoriously like one of the shortest verses in the Bible. If you look at the greater context, it's a really, there's a lot that can be said about it. I think that whenever I talk about Jesus-y things, two things have the potential to go wrong. I think first, people who are triggered by Christianity, usually rightly so, don't want that. And then on the flip side, people who think that the work that I do is not Jesus-y or Christian enough are triggered and don't want that. And those things may happen. But if you have, if you're new, if you're brand new, then you may not know that I come from a, there's somebody beeping outside. If you're brand new to my work, then you may not know that I come from a, I come out of a Christian tradition. If you are new to my work, I highly recommend going back to the very, very first episode of this podcast, which I posted in like 2017, like the beginning of 2017. And it's, I think it's Preachers, Poets, and Prostitutes or something like that. And it kind of tells my story and how I got here. It's actually before I went to grad school. So it's interesting, you know, I have changed a bit since then, as we evolve, right? So, yeah, so I come from a, I didn't grow up Christian. I won't give you the full thing. I have shared that. There's also, I think I did an episode, I'll post it in the show notes, sort of like telling you how I got to what I believe and what it is I believe. But I wasn't raised necessarily Christian in like a Christian household, but I came to become, to call myself a Christian as a young adult. And it was a huge part of my sobriety. And then as I got older, I came to personally feel like some of the teachings of Christianity were oppressive, limiting, whatever you want to call it. I didn't call it that at the time. It just felt like it didn't fit anymore. And so I started to explore some other stuff. Felt kind of guilty about exploring that other stuff because, you know, I was a Christian. That's what we do. And so, I mean, all of that stuff you can find in past podcasts. And if you're interested, I will link those episodes. But I think what is more interesting is that today, I feel very, you know, at peace with where I am spiritually, even though I think 25-year-old Brandy would have been like mildly mortified. And I connect with Jesus regularly in meditation. And I wouldn't say I read the Bible regularly, but I love the Bible. One book that has been really helpful for me is A New Testament by Hal Tosig. And it includes, in addition to the full New Testament, it includes like books that were not labeled as canon. I, you know, for a long time, part of my story is that I felt called to be a pastor and I went to seminary, dropped out of seminary, but I'm a Bible nerd, like from the gate. And so, you know, I love this stuff. So, I think that if you look at what Jesus said without the lens of the, all of the lenses that, Christians have put on the Bible throughout, you know, the decades and centuries. I think he was brilliant. I think he was enlightened. I think that he spoke pretty plainly about reincarnation. And I think that he was inviting us into something amazing. Something that I think that we are stepping into now, you know, 2,000 years later. And there have been people throughout history who I think have mystics, I mean, of all traditions. And so, you know, Christianity is my tradition of origin. Jermaine Fame always tells me I say that word wrong. but I think that Muhammad and Buddha and like there have been people and women, I'm sure they just, their stories weren't told as much, that have also been enlightened by esoteric truths. So anyway, that's my little spiel about that. And that's why I think that when we are having a difficult time, we can look to the ancient traditions and they can help us. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to do today. And I think we can channel, we can meditate, we can connect with our own wisdom. And the test is, if it's a test, if you want to call it a test, is how we feel, how it feels, how aligned it seems to be. Okay, so what happened? So I preface this by saying that this is a personal family thing. I'm not going to get into specifics. I debated whether to talk about this. I haven't really told many people. I told, you know, a couple of my best friends. Obviously, my husband and my kids know. But I don't think it's my story to tell. And I am pretty private about some things. So, I felt like it would be important to talk about, and I think that, and I'm also going to link the foundation that's being created in lieu of the tragedy if you feel moved to donate. So, an extended family member, who I had never met, committed suicide last week. And, it's my family. So, you know, his mom is my cousin, and, I'm heartbroken. And I'm heartbroken for her and for his family. I am grieving with them. I tell you that it's extended and that I've never met him because I don't want messages about how you're so sorry for my loss. And I don't want this to be about me. But it's devastating. It's devastating. He was a teenager. And there's no silver lining. Like, I'm all about hope and restoration and healing and peace and all of it. But in these cases, this is just devastating. There's no good. And at the same time, we as human beings, we seek desperately for meaning, for redemption. His mother is creating an organization, in his name. And so, you know, I wish I had something comforting to say. in this current situation, I think the only thing that you can do is to sit in the grief, to allow yourself to grieve. When these things happen, it's so easy to, grief is hard to, stay in because, it's engulfing. It doesn't feel like it will end. And so we grasp onto anger and blame, and we try to like move ourselves into a place of action. And I think that there are, you know, anger has its place. And is wildly helpful. But also grief has its place. And we often, it's hard to be there. And, you know, the stages of grief, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, I can't remember, I think there are 5 stages. And they're not linear, right? So we don't go from, you know, denial to shock to sadness to, you know, it's not like a line. We go back and forth, and all of it is okay. Like, where we are is okay. And I think that there's a temptation in our grief, and I'm not specifically talking about this, depending on our personal own kind of ways of being, there's a temptation to ignore certain stages, because if you are a person who avoids conflict at all costs, you might miss the anger phase. So we all kind of have to work out what we need to do, where we need to be in the grief process, and we also need to give ourselves just the space to be where we are. And I think that it's part of the reason why I find this passage so compelling. It's such an interesting story. So it's chapter 11 in the book of John. John is one of the Gospels, but it's sort of its own thing. Like the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of follow a template. John like goes completely rogue and does some like wild things because he's trying to explain, he's trying to showcase Jesus's divinity. And so he tells these wild stories. Like Matthew, Mark, and Luke are trying to like, they're almost trying to like explain, show his humanity, his humanness, that he was a man. And John is like, funk that. He was like God, you guys. And he was like hanging out among us. So in this story, Mary and Martha are Lazarus' sisters, and they send word to Jesus that Lazarus is ill. And Jesus, having a conversation with his disciples, says he's gonna die, but I'm gonna raise him up. But he sort of says it in a somewhat cryptic way. Not all the disciples fully get it. And there's some moments where when Jesus is speaking depending on who the author is or who is putting the words in Jesus's mouth, sometimes he sounds like kind of annoyed, kind of like, you don't get it. And that's how he sounds here. So Lazarus dies and Jesus goes to Martha and Mary, and Martha, you know, Martha has this, like, Martha's the one who's trying to be good, right? So she's like, at first she's almost like scolding, like, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. And then Jesus says, your brother will rise again. And Martha says, I know he will, like, on the last day. And then he calls for Mary. And Mary, you know, Mary's very passionate. Mary's very, like, you know, she is the one that we're supposed to be like, but she's also the one that infuriates all the type A's. And she just kind of honestly says, like, if you had been here, he wouldn't be dead. And, like, what's interesting is she doesn't, like, try to... I think in other cases, Jesus got upset at their lack of faith, but he didn't get upset with her. Instead, he is with her. She's weeping, and he is moved to tears. So it's this very empathic moment where he knows what's about to happen. Like, he knows he's about to... raise Lazarus from the dead, but he feels her pain and he experiences it and he grieves with her. And then he raises her brother from the dead. And he does this, and it doesn't talk about kind of their reactions. Right after that, like, the next passage is like the plot to kill Jesus. Like, it, and by the end of chapter 11, they're like, basic, it's very like Illuminati. Like, it's like, the council of the Pharisees are like, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe him and the Romans will come and destroy both our holy place and our nation. And, so they're like, we have to kill him because he's performing miracles and everybody's going to know that God is amazing and that we can perform miracles as, you know, human beings, and we can't let that happen. And so then Jesus has to go into hiding, and then, we all know how the story ends. I think that in thinking about that story, there's a couple things that come up. I think, first of all, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. His body was like decaying. And I think that there's a message there, whether you take this as like a literal thing or like myth or, you know, however you choose to like read these stories, there's a message there that it's never too late. And the punchline is that sometimes it is too late. But things aren't as they seem. So, like, Jesus doesn't, I mean, people die throughout. Like, John the Baptist died, and he couldn't or didn't save him, right? So, like, what's interesting is... it's a story about, or I mean, the whole thing is kind of like timing and he does this. The whole reason he claims that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead is so that people will believe in like the miracles of God. So he does it for the glory of God. So like the gift to these sisters and to Lazarus is a greater purpose. And so I think that there's so much that we can unpack there. And I think that there's a lot of comfort in this story, as it like is sort of like disturbing and sad because, you know, this happens, and yet a lot of like not all people are raised from the dead. However, if you believe in reincarnation or past lives, then maybe we are. And you know, I think the thing is, like, we all die at some point, right? Like, that's the human story, is that we're born and then some of us live to be a day and some of us live to be, you know, 120. And unless we choose to end it, we don't get to choose how it ends or when it ends. And some people have near-death experiences and go to a place where, I mean, beyond, and then they come back. And often when they do, they come back with a deepened sense of, I'm here for a reason. I have work to do. And so I think that there's something about death, ours or other people's, that reminds us of our vision, of the reason that we are walking this earth. And I think that when I first heard of the idea of reincarnation, which I don't have the passages. Jesus talks about it plainly, and I should go look and talk about that in another episode. But not plainly, because plainly is not his style. But when I first started to open up to the idea of past lives, it made so much sense. Because first of all, it gave us, for me, it never made sense that, like, we get this one life and some of us muck it up really, really badly. And some of us, you know, do amazing things and then are killed. And then some of it, you know, like, it just seemed like really random and like nonsensical. But if we have infinite times or chances to get it, to figure it out and to figure out the meaning of life, whatever the meaning of life is, then death is not the final, it's not final. And there's so much hope and there's so much life. There's life. And that's true for you. That's true for me. That's true for anybody that you've lost. That's true for my loved one. That's true for everyone. We talked about how it's never too late. We talked about Jesus having empathy and experiencing grief, even though he knew how the story ends. He knew that it wasn't the end. And we talked about how these things can sort of push us, encourage us into our greater purpose, our vision. So one of the reasons I wanted to do this particular episode, this topic, is because a lot of people have reached out to me saying that they have lost loved ones, some very recently. I mean, this is a time of death. This is a time of loss, in the midst of, you know, there are some, I would argue, there are good things that have come from this strange time, we're in, this apocalyptic time. But it's also really sad. It's seemingly random, and it's hard. And loss and separation are there's no easy way to deal with this. So a lot of people have asked me, when I say I'm a psychic, I do psychic readings, a lot of people have interpreted that to mean that I channel, that I can talk to people on the other side. And I honestly am not sure if I have that gift or not. So something I've never told anyone is a couple of years ago, I was doing a meditation and sort of connecting, communing with God, the universe, about what my purpose was, what I'm supposed to do. And I sensed in a very strong way that was almost scary that I am a channel, that I'm to channel. And what channel means is like connecting with spirits, with, I mean, I think it could be, you know, whether you say your guides or your angels or, I do a lot of work in my meditations, in my personal meditations, connecting with what I call my guides, and my guardian angel, and some, connecting with, ancient gods and goddesses. That's a more recent development. But I've had some really powerful experiences connecting with those energies, entities, whatever you want to call them. They've always felt positive and healthy and good. But I have not had as much experience connecting with people who, human beings who have passed on. And I think, you know, my view on that is partly that I think that most human beings, unless they are stuck for some reason, don't necessarily stick around on our earthly plane or on this dimension, because there's other things to do and there's other places, there's other worlds or a new life for them to experience. And I think that even if you believe in more like traditional heaven, I think that would be true. Like, I don't think that people are just sitting in heaven all day, like waiting for us to talk to them. And so I think that it's sort of like I do believe some people have the ability to talk to people who've passed on. And I do believe that we have the ability to talk to our ancestors or the spirit of our ancestors, however you want to like conceptualize that. I am not sure that I have that gift, but I also believe, and I believe very strongly, that we all have that gift. I have not intentionally tried to hone it. And so that's part of the reason why I don't feel confident saying that I have it. But what I have been telling people is that if you want to connect with your loved one, try to do it in a meditation. And I believe strongly in it. This is why I do this work. We should have access to esoteric shit. We should be able to, like, this stuff, this like magic or spirituality, religion, our gifts, our abilities. I think that Jesus was trying to tell us that we have those things. And I think that the reason that they killed him was because they didn't want him to find out. So I recognize that in trying to make the esoteric shit readily available, there could be people or energies in the world who don't want that to happen. But that was then. And maybe that's not the case now. Maybe that's just what we think that is the case now. I am wildly open to the idea that everybody is actually like wanting to step further into their own highest self. So anyway, I don't know if that made sense. But here's what I'll say. At this point, that's not my gift. However, doing past life regressions is my gift. And I will be putting a past life regression meditation. I think I can say that. I'm trying not to say that, to promise things that like won't happen quickly, but I think I can say that with a fair degree of confidence. I'm gonna create a past life regression meditation that you can access to connect with your own past lives. In my experience, that has been possible and helpful for me. Some people feel like that's not the case and they need somebody to walk them or guide them through it. And I could say if that's the case, I don't have that offering right now. But I can connect you with people who do, if you're interested in that. And then I think also, you know, I encourage you to create a space, create a container, you know, in meditation where you, I mean, just talk to them. Get quiet. Breathe. Relax your body. Call in God or your guides or whomever you feel like you need with you. And then ask your loved one to step forth or ask your guides or your God, you know, what's going on with them. And then trust the answers that you receive. This is something we all have access to. We just don't access it. I think the magic that we do is like, it's our inner work. It's our, it's so readily available. So that is my advice to you. But I think also, you know, allow yourself the space to grieve and allow that to look like however it looks like. Grief, I've heard grief described as a wild animal. And I think that you have to let yourself go there and with no judgment, no shame. And that's why we do therapy. That's why we do, you know, grief. There's a really great, I'll link in the show notes, an author who wrote a book on grief. Her mother died and she is a grief counselor and, highly recommend her work. So, I mean, I think as with everything, you know, evidence-based therapeutic modalities and weird spiritual shit. and that's how we get through this. That's how we get through loss. That's how we get through the crazy state that the world is in. And we do it together. I'm with you and I am rooting for you. And I love you. And so with that, I think this is a good place to end. So much love. Namaste.